الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
Hazur says that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states in one place, that this humble person has only been sent for the purpose of taking this message to the creation of Allah the Almighty, that from among the current world religions, the religion which is based on truth and is in exact accordance with God's will is the one brought by the Holy Quran. The door to enter the abode of salvation is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger. Huzur says that that stalwart and champion of Allah who was to propagate the teachings of the Holy Quran in the world, who was to convey the teachings of the Holy Quran to every single inhabitant of the world in his or her own language. He is this great lover of the Holy Quran and also that servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, whose name was Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad of Qadian, on whom be peace. He alone is that warrior and stalwart of God the Almighty, who was to hold aloft the banner of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger in the world, and show the way to the lost and misguided world. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, profoundly spiritual writings at every moment of his life testifies to this, that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, peace be upon him, that task that was assigned to him, he certainly fulfilled that obligation of. In the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he had no worldly resources available. He had not even a limited amount of worldly provisions. To undertake such a colossal task was no simple endeavor. However, because the chosen men of God the Almighty have perfect and complete trust and reliance in the being and existence of God alone, for this reason, the works that were assigned to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he did not rely on any worldly resources or worldly provisions. Rather, he always sought from God the Almighty according to the needs. God, in return, helped and supported him at every single moment and at every juncture. Indeed, Allah the Almighty has also stated that we should make worldly provisions and arrangements, and in this regard, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, at various occasions, appealed to his followers for sacrifices. This also included financial sacrifices. However, he never relied on anyone. As has always been the way of the chosen ones of God and the Anbiya, the prophets of Allah the Almighty, that they appeal for sacrifices for their missions to be completed and for the tasks that have been assigned to him to be fulfilled. In the same way, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also made appeals. However, he would always say the following, that my full reliance and trust is upon my Lord, that Lord who has promised to accomplish those immense and colossal tasks that have been placed upon me. Therefore, such a person who lived in a far-off, remote area of the Indian subcontinent in a tiny hamlet, for him to make an announcement that God the Almighty has assigned to me the responsibility and task of spreading the teachings of the Holy Quran and also embedding the superiority and greatness of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in the hearts of people, this was no ordinary announcement. Then the world witnessed how that message spread from that tiny hamlet to not only to the large cities and the corners of India, but in fact, from India, this message then spread to Europe and America. The greatness and preeminence of Islam began to be established and embedded in the hearts of people. Many influential and senior priests and also leaders of other faiths and religions, those who were opponents of Islam and who presumed that they were powerful and that they were also wealthy. When they stood in opposition and in the path of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, either they were entirely humiliated or disgraced, or in accordance with Allah's decree, they were destroyed or annihilated. This humiliation and disgrace of the opponents of Islam was not only witnessed in the subcontinent of India. Rather, this humiliation of the opponents was also witnessed by Europe and America. However, it is unfortunate that those Muslim religious scholars, that is the ulama and those peers, they witnessed all of this, yet their eyes did not open. Rather, they intensified in their opposition. However, no one can compete with Allah's decree. This opposition of the friends and foe, their animosities and hostilities, this has always occurred and this is still occurring today. And this acts as fertilizer and water does for trees and plants. We are observing this even until today, that whenever the Jamaat, that is the community, in any way, in any place, in any manner has been suppressed, then in a new splendor and new glory, this Jamaat, that is this community of the stalwart of Allah the Almighty, receiving the blessings and graces of Allah, have moved onward to surpass new stages of progress and advancement. This grace and blessing of Allah has always rained upon the Jamaat, because the Jamaat, that is the community, has always kept in view that purpose for which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was commissioned. The members of the Jamaat have kept in view this instruction of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, which he has included in Risala al-Wasiyah, the booklet, the will, that God Almighty desires to draw all those who live in various habitations of the world, be it Europe or be it Asia, all of them who have virtuous natures and are righteous, he desires to draw them to the unity of God, that is, Tawheed, and to unite his servants under one faith. This indeed is the purpose of God, for which I have been sent to the world. You too, therefore, should pursue this end, however, with kindness, moral probity, and also with fervent prayers. So therefore, to gather the people upon one religion, to establish the world upon Tawheed, the oneness of God, to establish the kingdom of the Holy Quran in the world, to convey the teachings entailed within the Holy Quran, and also to collect pious natured and virtuous people under the banner of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. This was that extensive and great mission which the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, handed over and entrusted to his Jamaat, his community, after him. However, this task cannot be carried out without bringing about a pious change in oneself, without sacrifice and without prayers. As long as we keep these aspects in view and make efforts to this effect, we will continue witnessing the progress that God has destined for this Jamaat. This remains the beauty and the splendor of the Jamaat up until today, that while striving to attain this purpose and objective as a Jamaat, as a community, the Jamaat continues to progress and advance. Members of the Jamaat make endeavors to inculcate pious reformations within themselves, and they strive to attain the pleasure of God Almighty, and to this effect they continue to carry out sacrifices. To attain this purpose and objective, if prayers are kept in view and are inclined towards, then always, inshallah, God enabling, we will continue to witness stages of progress and advancement. Whenever the Jamaat has been reminded towards attaining this purpose and objective. The Jamaat, through the grace of Allah, have always hearkened and responded, and more than before, for the sake of the Jamaat and for the sake of the progress of Islam, they have engaged themselves in prayers and made greater sacrifices than before. Recently, when I reminded and drew attention towards carrying out an optional fast and also towards prayers, then the letters I am receiving in this regard from it seems that Jamaat with great enthusiasm have given attention to all this and have responded to my call, and everybody is engaged in prayers. Even those who were not asked, even they are engaged fully in prayers, not only Pakistanis but also people of Africa, people of Europe and people of America. Those who are not Pakistani nationals, they have given inclination towards prayers, and for their Pakistani Ahmadi brothers, and for every single Ahmadi who in any way, shape or form is suffering from any difficulty, or are being subjected to any kind of difficulty, they are praying for them most fervently. If they were inclined and reminded towards financial sacrifices, then they increased also in financial sacrifices, and they provided such examples that astonishes one, that how for the sake of the faith these people are increasing in the levels of sacrifice. In the current age, publication of books and literature is essential for the tabligh, or the preaching of Islam. There is the organization and arrangements for missionaries, the construction of mosques and mission houses. There are also other means and resources that in today's age of rapid communication, the media have invented. For all of this, financial sacrifices are required. Nowadays, taking just MTA, it is an immense and extensive source of tabligh, of propagation and preaching. Currently, it is utilizing 4 different satellites. Through this, no corner or no part of the world is such where Ahmadiyyat and also the true Islam's message is not reaching. Furthermore, this message is being relayed in 7 to 8 major languages of the world. In short, this is a great means of tabligh, that is, of conveying the message of Islam to attain that objective, that purpose for which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, came. For this, financial sacrifices are essential. The Jamaat gives more financial sacrifices than before. Today, in accordance with the tradition, I will announce the new year of Tehreek-e-Jadid. When Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud, the second Khalifa, may Allah be pleased with him, started Tehreek-e-Jadid, the opponents of Ahmadiyyat, they proclaimed that we will eradicate and eliminate this message from the world, that message that was brought by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. But when Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud, in response to that proclamation, launched a financial appeal to convey this message to the corners of the world, then the world witnessed a spontaneous, dedicated response to that appeal. Today, we, through the grace and blessings of Allah, are in 200 countries of the world. As I stated, that through MTA alone, a great revolution is being infused in the entire world. Therefore, under the auspices and shade of Khilafat, as Hadhrat Masih Maud, the promised Messiah on whom be peace stated, the Jamaat goes on carrying out sacrifices to accomplish the mission of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. If only the Muslims who claim love of the Holy Prophets, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, understood and comprehended this decree of God, and for the sake of Tawheed, that is the oneness of Allah, to convey and spread the teachings of the Holy Quran in the world, and to establish the kingdom of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the world, if only they would connect and bond themselves with the stalwart of God and offer themselves for service. And then they should see that their lost reputation and glory would be restored once again. Then they would witness how major powers of the world would respect and honor them. Then they would see that no wretched cartoonist or editor of a magazine, or anyone else for that matter, would dare or have the courage to express anything offensive about the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Very recently, again in France, a magazine carried out an obnoxious act through which our hearts have been seriously hurt. I have enjoined the Jamaat of France that within the remit of the law to protest against this, that these people should be explained, the public should also be alerted, that such offences, such acts, that leads to God's wrath. So save yourself from God's chastisement. Nowadays, anyhow, the world is heading towards destruction. In some places we witness calamities, whilst in other areas the economic disaster is worsening. The reasons for all of this is that they have forgotten God. They utilize despicable, contemptible, and also disgusting words regarding the beloved ones of God. They mock, ridicule, and deride those people of God. So therefore, these people are challenging the honor of God Almighty. We need to embed the fear of Allah in the hearts of the world. Ahmadis are carrying out this task nowadays. If all Muslims comprehend and discern this reality, then, whilst on the one hand they will cater for their life in this world and the next, there they will also become the recipients of Allah's rewards and blessings. If only they gain the wisdom to understand. Anyhow, as I stated, when a section of the Muslims was making haughty and lofty claims that we will eliminate Ahmadiyyat completely, Hadhrat Musleh Maud, may Allah have mercy upon him, in order to spread Ahmadiyyat, in other words, the true Islam in the world, he announced a scheme. Upon this, the members of the Jamaat, children, women, men, all of them, they responded and hearkened to this call. Whilst hearkening and obeying this call, they also established examples of sacrifice. Today in the world, we are witnessing the fruits of this Tahreek-e-Jadeed. In fact, through the grace of Almighty Allah, we observe in the world today that lush and fruit-laden tree of Ahmadiyyat. And this is a result of those sacrifices. On the one hand, where members of the Jamaat contribute and make sacrifices to the obligatory jandas and also other jandas, there they are also making extraordinary sacrifices towards Tehreek-e-Jadeed. This at a time when the world is embroiled in financial sacrifice. The sacrifices being made by Ahmadis, it fills and immerses the hearts with the praise of Allah the Almighty. These words of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, are recalled, that when I see the sincerity, the devotion, the passion of faith of the members of the Jamaat, even I am astonished and bewildered. Hazur says, with regard to the financial crisis, I should also mention that at present it is not known where this will end, or how intense or how worse this financial crisis becomes. For this reason, Ahmadis most certainly at all times should keep provisions for a few days at home. In poor countries, they are used to facing such adverse and difficult circumstances, and they normally have some provisions stored for this purpose. But in these countries, they are not used to this. They are not aware of what a crisis is. The last crisis that they witnessed was at the Second World War. After this, they did not witness this. For this reason, the new generation do not fully realize in terms of what could possibly occur. But there is no need to panic in any way. However, in order to fulfill precautionary measures or requirements, Ahmadis should stock, to whatever extent that is possible for them, dry rations at home. Anyhow, we should also pray the following, that may Allah the Almighty grant the ability to the world to recognize their Creator, and that they should be safe from the chastisement of God. May Allah enable this to be so. Now I return to the topic of the devotion and sincerity of the members of the Jamaat. I will mention a few details regarding their financial sacrifices. From this it is deciphered and becomes evident how in every corner of the world, in different types of financial sacrifices, how members of the Jamaat are expressing their devotion and sincerity. For the sake of progress in faith, it displays how these people are fully engaged and making every effort to make financial sacrifices. The people who were speaking about eliminating the Jamaat, today they are nowhere to be seen. Their disciples and their followers and those who have the same nature as them, they can see how after coming into the Bayt, the fold of the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, people, for the sake of the progress of Islam, despite poverty, are offering sacrifices and are displaying models of sincerity and devotion. Our Muballigh of Ivory Coast writes, that one of our friends, Ali Domidrago Sahib, at the end of 2009 took the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance. Since the first day of his Bayt, he worked out his income and he would give Chanda at the prescribed rate. During this time, he witnessed profuse blessings of Chanda. Once he was with the old members of the Jamaat and he was mentioning these blessings that he received from amongst these old members, one who did the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance, in 2004. After he heard this account, he increased his Chanda from 2,000 francs to 5,000 francs sifa. He said he had not yet started paying this increased contribution, where he bear witness and he testified that his income increased extraordinarily. This old member then came to me and he related all this account and he said the following, that I had decided to increase the amount to 5,000 francs sifa, but from today, rather than 5,000, I will each month give 10,000 francs sifa. After this, in accordance with this, he contributed that amount. There are countless other members in this way who are progressing in terms of their gender. The missionary of Guinea-Conakry writes that a youngster, Mohtara Muhammad Marika Sahib, he was being preached to for a long time, and after this, through the grace of Almighty Allah, he entered the Jamaat. Professionally, he was an architect engineer. When he did the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance, at the time he was working in a construction company and he received only an ordinary salary. After the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance, when he was introduced to the Jamaat's financial system, he asked which is the most important janda out of all these jandas. So he was told that janda Vasir, janda Am and janda Jalsa Salana are the most important. They were started at the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The importance of Vasir was also explained to him. So immediately he responded that from today I will give janda Vasir. The Muballigh explained to him that janda Vasir is a part of a system. Only after you enter that system can you give janda Vasir. So he says, I enter that system. He read Risala al-Vasir, that is the will. After this, he also undertook the Vasir. With great faithfulness and loyalty and commitment, he gives one-tenth of his income to janda Vasir. Because it takes some time to receive the approval for the Vasir, he still regularly kept on giving the amount for Vasiyat in that wait for the process to take place. Then he also joined other schemes and contributed towards them. After some time, he left his company and he started up his own business. Now, with the grace of Almighty Allah, he is the owner of his own company. And in the entire country, he is famous for his honesty and also trustworthiness. Due to this, his business is also flourishing. While sitting in the company of others, he says openly that these blessings and rewards I received due to entering the Jamaat of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and the system of the Seed. From Ghana, our missionary Jibrail Sayyid Sahib writes that a friend, Al-Haj Muhammad Abube Sahib, he went on a tour to Togo for a preaching expedition. There in Najum, we said the Zuhr prayers in the sun. Al-Haj Muhammad Abubi said that to make a mosque for these people is the right. Azur says this is a brand new Jamaat, a small Jamaat in a tiny village. They made great financial sacrifices and constructed a beautiful mosque for them. This Al-Haj Sahib is a very well-off, wealthy person. In this mosque, 300 people can offer their prayers. Now the minaret of this mosque is being built. Because this place is a far-off and remote area, it is difficult for material and provisions to reach there. Still, Al-Haj Sahib, with great difficulty and hardship, spending a lot of money, is arranging for the material for the construction to reach there. The Sadr Lajna of Ivory Coast relates that this year in the Majlis-e Shura, at the occasion of the 50 years of the Jubilee of Ivory Coast Jamaat for the construction of the mosque, an appeal was made for Chanda. So many members of the Lajna at that very moment said that they would promise to give 100,000 franc sifa. The secretary Tehreek-e Jadid, who is a very sincere Ahmadi, she immediately, at that very time, contributed 100,000 franc sifa. Azur says, for these people, this is a huge amount. Although this is 100,000 in their currency, which converts to £135 only, but for Africa, this is an immense amount. That lady only had a tiny grocery shop, and she had a large family to take care of. Amir Sahib of Burkina Faso writes that a friend of a Jamaat Bavadanami, his name was Atara Abdul Hay Sahib, after listening to a speech of a missionary, pledged that although I am poor, and despite only having grains, I have no other means of economic income, yet my promise and my pledge is that every single month I will contribute 100 franc sifa to Chanda. Only a short period of time had passed after this. We had to face a lack of rain. All of the people became extremely perturbed and anxious due to this lack of rain. But he says that everybody witnessed this with me, and this related to my crops. With the grace of Almighty Allah, my crops were excellent. This enhanced my faith and also in my belief in Chanda even more. I pledge subsequently that now I will contribute 600 franc sifa to Tehreek-e Jadid. Only a few days had passed after this pledge when the time for the harvest of the crops arrived. The yield of my crops was the best and the most out of everybody else. So after this, I considered that this extraordinary yielding of the crops occurred due to the blessings of Chanda. So after this, I increased my Tehreek-e Jadid contributions to 12,000 francs. The Amir Sahib of Burkina Faso writes that in the village of Suriname, an elderly person called Kaburi Sahib is the only Ahmadi in his family. So he relates himself that for a long period of time, due to my very elderly age and also due to different illnesses, he was weak in terms of offering the prayers regularly. He was extremely sad and sorrowful out because of this fact. This year, after taking the bed, the Pledge of Allegiance, he paid 70,000 franc sifa in Chanda. No sooner after he had given that Chanda, the prolonged illness started improving greatly. He was given the ability to perform the prayers once again, to the extent that he performs all the prayers now, including Tahajjud. So he says that this is all due to Allah's grace and also as a blessing of my financial sacrifices. The chanda enabled me also to say my prayers. Amir Sahib Australia relates that in November 2010, when the announcement was made for the new year of Tehreek-e-Jadid, then in Australia, from the Department of Tehreek-e-Jadid, in light of the guidance that I provided to them, all the jamaats were enjoined and reminded towards progressing and contributing towards Tehreek-e-Jadid. Jamaat Ahmadiyya Melbourne, they promised to, inshallah, double their contribution. So they worked extremely hard, and purely through Allah's grace, they increased their Tehreek-e-Jadid contribution by 164%. Jamaat Ahmadiyya Canberra, in comparison to last year, increased 75% in their contributions. Similarly, in the same vein, the Jamaats collectively are extraordinarily progressing in their contributions to Janda. Our inspector, Tehreek-e-Jadid in India, he reports that in February, I went with the Wakil al-Mal Sahib to the state of Tamil Nadu on a visit. We read Jamaat Ahmadiyya Combat, and after the Maghrib prayer, a Tarbiyati gathering or meeting was held. In this, Wakil al-Mal Sahib gave information about the objectives, purposes, and also background of Tehreek-e-Jadid in quite some detail. After the gathering, promises were taken from all the members of the Jamaat who were present in the mosque for the new year of Tehreek-e-Jadid, one sincere and devout friend. His previous promise was 20,000 rupees. So he was very affluent and wealthy. Normally in Kerala, there are quite well-off people. So it was said that you should increase it to 100,000 rupees. First of all, he made some excuses that he was compelled in this way, but then he was ready to make this sacrifice. At that time, there were two Waqf-e-Noor daughters of his who were there, that is, two female members of the Waqf-e-Noor scheme. The Tehreek-e-Jadid inspector, he left the mosque. So the inspector says that as he left the mosque to go to his house, he received a phone call. A phone call from that person who had made a promise to contribute 100,000 rupees. So the eldest daughter of the Waqf-e-Noor scheme who was with that person said to him that, "Abbajan, father, that contribution of 100,000 you have promised is insufficient. It is too less for us. Increase this to 150,000. So he says, "This is why he put me down as giving 150,000 rupees. Then a representative of Tehreek-e-Jadid made a visit of Kashmir in India. He says, "Jamaat Ahmadiyya Asnoor, a very sincere friend, met me. So he was making ends meet, and his reliance was on a very limited amount of government pension he received. In the past few days, what occurred was that his medication costs became more expensive than the pension he received. When I saw the circumstances of this person, it was not appropriate that I increased the budget of his contributions. However, when I prayed whilst leaving, he said, "At least tell me why you have come here." So the representative of Tehreek-e-Jadid says that he explained to him regarding Tehreek-e-Jadid and the guidance that Hazur had given in this light. So that person promptly, spontaneously said that, "As long as I am alive, I will abide fully and obey the instructions of Khalifatul Masih." Saying this, he started crying. And he said, "When Allah the Almighty has increased my worldly budget, then why should I lessen my budget of the hereafter?" Subsequently, in compliance with the Wakil al-Mal, not only did he increase his budget, in fact, but also he gave half of that chanda amount right there and then. Additional Wakil al-Mal Pakistan writes that one person in Sindh, Hazur says, "This is although the circumstances in Sindh are very adverse due to the heavy rains in recent days." So this person says that his promise was 50,000 rupees. The additional Wakil al-Mal says that despite the circumstances, that is, his crops had been affected, because he was a well-off and affluent person, I said to him that your pledge should be higher than it currently is. Upon this, that person increased his pledge to 500,000 rupees. And he paid in cash. A few days later, he rang. He had already returned to Hyderabad at the time and he phoned him and says, you came as a representative of Khalifatul Masih. At that time I promised 500,000 rupees because you took into context my circumstances and said that much. But I believe that the spirit of the pledge, the bet, and the measure of it requires and demands that I should contribute higher. So right there and then he pledged giving 1 million rupees. When he returned home, his wife said to him that my jewelry, I would like to hand that over to Tehreek-e-Jadid. So this person phoned and said, it is night and my wife is saying that go immediately now and give this jewelry to the representative of the Markaz. She will not keep it at night. So the Tehreek-e-Jadid representative also said, it is night, the circumstances of Sindh are such, it is not appropriate to come now. We will take it in the morning. But she was insistent that no, I want to give this over now. So then the husband was compelled to go and give it. Hazrat says, once you make a resolution and intention, then in the sight of Allah, that sacrifice reaches him. Taking into context the circumstances, one should not become so emotional. If the circumstances are dire or difficult, then you should be careful. Allah's grace descended and nothing happened when they traveled at night. But unnecessarily, one should not put him or herself into tribulations. Our missionary writes about a new Ahmadi friend from Kazakhstan that for the Jamaat's mission house and Markazi mosque, a plot was donated by him. A two-story house was also purchased. Then in another city, for the construction of a mosque, a plot was also purchased by him and donated. This is a new Ahmadi friend, and collectively, he gave $495,000 in financial sacrifice. The Tehreek-e-Jadid Secretary of Germany reports that regarding Tehreek-e-Jadid, an appeal was made. After hearing about his blessings, a lady gave 1,000 euro which she had kept aside to purchase jewelry. She gave this over to Tehreek-e-Jadid contribution. Many members of Lajna in Germany gave their jewelry over for the Tehreek-e-Jadid contribution. One lady had put her money into a committee. She gave all that money to Tehreek-e-Jadid. So this secretary writes that, I went on a tour to one area. There, a friend, he gave a paper to him. That is to this inspector, the secretary Tehreek-e-Jadid. Upon this paper was written that I am pledging 20,000 euros of Tehreek-e-Jadid. And underneath this paper was written that do not mention my name. So he says that when I went to another place, I gave this example that this is the way people are giving sacrifices. So there a friend as well. When the meeting came to its conclusion, he also handed me a paper. Upon this paper was written that I am donating 21,000 euros to Tehreek-e-Jadid. And under this was also written that do not mention my name. Hazur says, these are but a few accounts that I have collected. There were countless incidents and narrations. Perhaps there are some accounts which are more faith-inspiring than this. I have not selectively chosen the accounts. I have just selected them randomly. May Allah the Almighty grant great blessings into those people who are giving sacrifices. After this, as is the custom and tradition, I will give the details of the previous year of Tehreek-e-Jadid. And I also announce the start of the 78th year of Tehreek-e-Jadid. May Allah the Almighty also grant great blessings and fruits to this new year of Tehreek-e-Jadid. Through the grace of Almighty Allah, the previous year, which was the 77th year of Tehreek-e-Jadid, it ended on 31st October. According to the reports that have been received so far, the total contributions worldwide in the Tehreek-e-Jadid financial scheme is 6,631,000 offered by the Jamaat. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. This collection, in comparison to the previous year, is 1,162,000 more. Never before in a single year has there been such an increase in Tehreek-e-Jadid contributions. This increase is in the people who are contributing to the scheme, and also the level of sacrifice is enhanced greatly. This has occurred in the current economic circumstances of the world, which are worsening greatly, in particular in Europe. May Allah, the Almighty, to this collection as well, grant great blessings. And the Jamaat's plans, may Allah the Almighty enable those to be completed successfully, and may those continue to be fulfilled without any impediments or obstacles. Despite the worldwide economic turmoil and downturn, there has been no shortcomings in Chanda, there has been no shortcomings in sacrifices. May Allah the Almighty enable it to be so that this economic crisis does not impede our progress or plans in any way. Through the grace of Almighty Allah, despite severe financial crisis and economic downturn in Pakistan, despite the economic predicament, they have maintained that high level of sacrifice and they retain the top position in Tehreek-e-Jadeed. This year, at the second position, is USA, and at the third position is Germany, and at the fourth rank is Britain, that is UK. In the year previous, UK after Pakistan was at the second position, third was USA and fourth was Germany. Germany have come from fourth to third, and they have made great sacrifices to achieve this new position. Canada is at the fifth position. India at 6th, Indonesia as well. Although financially they have made great sacrifices, however, the sacrifices of India are also prominent. This is why Indonesia remain at 7th. Australia are at 8th. There is an Arab country which I do not want to mention, is at the 9th position. Switzerland is at 10th. In terms of contributions per person, apart from that Arab country, USA is at second at £118 per head. This is followed by Switzerland, then Belgium, etc. In terms of the local currency, the increases that have manifested, Germany is at the highest position. With the grace of God the Almighty, as I stated earlier, the number of those who are contributing and sacrificing has increased. This year, 109,000 new contributors to Tehreek-e-Jadeed Chanda have joined. In other words, in comparison to the previous year, 109,000 new members have joined to contribute, but still there is great room for improvement. As I inculcated and enjoyed African Jamaats last year, after that Nigeria have responded well and carried out good works. In Africa, in terms of total collections, Ghana is at the top position, followed by Mauritius and then Nigeria. Those countries in which there were prominent increases, they include Gambia and Burkina Faso. They have made good efforts. In terms of the increase of contributors, out of all the countries worldwide, Nigeria is at the top position. They have increased the contributors by 56,000. Sierra Leone is next, then Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso, etc. According to the Merkaz of Central Records, the total number of Daftar Awal members is 5,927. From amongst these, 340, with the grace of Almighty Allah, are alive who are contributing to this chanda themselves. From those who have deceased from the Daftar Awal, their progeny are giving on their behalf. In Pakistan, the first three positions in terms of chanda of the large jamaats, at first is Lahore, second Rabwa, and third Karachi. In Pakistan, the top 10 jamaats, which are cities, at first is Rawalpindi, second is Islamabad, third is Quetta, Okada at fourth, at fifth is Hyderabad, Peshawar comes at sixth, at seventh is Mirpur Khas, eighth is Bahawalpur, at ninth is Dera Ghazi Khan, and at tenth is Nawabshah. On the district level, the rank of the Jamaat offering sacrifices at one is Sialkot, at second is Umarkot. in the districts of Umrakot and also in Mirpur Khas, heavy rain have affected them adversely to a great extent. The Jamaats there are normally agricultural Jamaats, but still they have maintained the level of sacrifice. Sargoda comes at 3rd, at 4th in Shekhupura, Gujarat comes in at 5th, and Bahawal Nagar at 6th, at 7th Badin, Narawal at 8th, at 9th Sangar, and at 10th Mirpur Azad Kashmir and Hafizabad. The top 10 Jamaats in USA or America, at 1st is Los Angeles Inland Empire. At 2nd is Detroit. Silicon Valley comes in at 3rd. At 4th is Chicago West and Harrisburg. Dallas at 5th. At 6th is Los Angeles West. Boston at 7th. 8th, Silver Spring. And 9th, Potomac. Then there are the rank of the Jamaats in Germany, Rodermark, Neuss, Cologne, Florisheim, Augsburg, Neuss, Isenburg, Karlsruhe, Mahdiabad, Alzey, and Marburg. Collection-wise, the first 10 local Jamaats of Germany are Hamburg, Frankfurt, Grosgerau, Darmstadt, Wiesbaden, Mannheim, Riesstedt, Dessenberg, and Offenburg. In the UK, the first 10 large Jamaats, collection-wise, is number 1, Masjid Fazl, New Malden, Worcester Park, Cheam, Scunthorpe, Mosque West, West Hill, Bethel Fatou, Brains Park, and Manchester South. The top 3 regions in the UK at 1st is London region, at 2nd is North East region, and Midlands region comes in at 3rd. Contribution-wise, the top small Jamaats is Bromley and Lewisham, Lymington Spa, Wolverhampton, Span Valley, and Keighley. There are Jamaats of Canada who have done well. There is Edmonton, Vaughan West, Peace Village West, Surrey East, and Siskatown. There are the Jamaats of India, although they are at the end, rather not at the end, but in the 6th position overall. But I am mentioning the Jamaats of India, because in India is Qadian, and the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, was commissioned in Qadian. This is the city of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Kerala remains at the 1st position, Tamil Nadu at 2nd, Andhra Pradesh at 3rd. This is in terms of the states. Jammu Kashmir at 4th, at 5th Bengal, 6th at Karnataka, Arisa, Punjab, Yopi, and at 10th Delhi. The position of the Jamaats at 1st is Karoli, then 2nd Calicut, then Hyderabad, Kolkata, Kananur, that is Kananur town. Qadian comes in at 6th, Coimbatore at 7th, Chennai at 8th, 9th Bengali, and 10th Delhi. This time, because some have made extraordinary increases in their chanda, the chanda of Tehreek-e-Jadid is a markaz, central chanda. The national or local jamaats have no share in that. This is used for the projects of the markaz in India and also in other poor countries, for example in Africa. Or there are also expenditure of the markaz which are fulfilled through this chanda of Tehreek-e-Jadid. But this time, because of extraordinary collections of Tehreek-e-Jadid, USA have also increased phenomenally $180,000 or £180,000 in fact. For this reason, their collection of dollars from that, it is not their right as such, but this time, from amongst that collection, I give them a share of $100,000. Germany have made extraordinary increase in this chanda. More than 300,000 have they increased. For this reason, I give them a share of €150,000 from amongst that amount. And this is being given for the reason that USA and also in Germany, because mosques are being constructed, this amount being given as a share should be used on those mosque projects. The UK have also made a significant increase, but have not made as an increase as much as the first two Jamaats. This is why they are given £50,000 for the building or the construction of mosque, because now your attention has also been drawn towards the construction of mosque. May Allah the Almighty bless this in every respect. And may He enable everyone to carry out greater sacrifices than before. May Allah infuse profuse blessings in their properties, wealth, and also lives and souls. After the Friday prayers, I will also lead a funeral prayer in absentia of one of our elder and holy persons, Masood Ahmed Khan Sahib Delhi. He passed away on 3rd November in the morning at 3 a.m. at the age of 91. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. He was a very old servant of the faith. He was a Waqf-e Zindagi, a life devotee. He served as editor of the Daily Al-Fazl. He was born in 1920 in Delhi. His father was a Sahabi, a companion of the promised Messiah on whom be in peace, who did the bear the Pledge of Allegiance in 1900. His grandfather as well was a Sahabi, a companion of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. He took the bear the Pledge of Allegiance in 1890. In 1944, Delhi Sahib dedicated his life to the faith. Hadrat Khalif Tomasiya Sani, the second Khalifa, may Allah have mercy on him, appointed him as the assistant editor of the Daily Al-Fazl, and he arranged for him to do a postgrad degree in Punjab University in journalism. From 1946 to 1971, he served as a deputy editor of the Daily Al-Fazl. From 1971 to 1988, he served as the editor of the Daily Al-Fazl. So in total, for 43 years, he served Al-Fazl in Qadian, Lahore and Rabwa, and he was associated with the Al-Fazl all this time. In 1946, he was also unable to serve as the acting Wakil al-Tabshir in Qadian. In the very severe and adverse circumstances of 1947, he serves as an assistant of the Nazir Amuri Kharja, External Affairs Secretary at the time. In the tumultuous time between 1950 and 1953, he carried out great services in terms of reporting. From 1960 to 1973, he remained the editor of the monthly Ansarullah, which is the magazine of Ansarullah Pakistan. In 1974, he also excellently carried out press work. In 1975, 76, and 80, he had the honor of accompanying Hadrat Khalif Tomasiya III on his tours of Europe, America, Canada, and also West Africa. In 1982, he accompanied Hadrat Khalif Tomasiya IV, may Allah have mercy upon him, upon the occasion of the inauguration of Masjid Basharat, Spain. In 1989, upon the instruction of Hadrat Khalif Tomasiya IV, he set up the administration and system of Qaza in Germany. The book of Hadrat Khalif Tomasiya IV, Murder in the Name of Allah. The chapters that were written in English by Hazur, he translated to Urdu. Similarly, he translated the book Christianity, A Journey from Facts to Fiction to Urdu. He also wrote two or three books himself, for example, Safre Hayat, The Journey of Life, etc. Irfan Ahmed Khan Sahib is his son in Germany and also Usman Khan Sahib in Germany. Dr. Imran Khalid Sahib resides in Rabwa. He is extremely pious and a very simple, straightforward person. He would come to Germany Jalsa every year and he would also come here. When I went there again, then he was extremely ill. He was in hospital, such was his predicament. But when he heard that I was coming, then all he was concerned was that somehow he should be discharged from the hospital to have the opportunity to say the prayers in the mosque. Anyhow, he came, and on Friday he also offered the Jummah, the Friday prayers. Normally, after Jummah or after prayers, I normally do not meet anyone, but that day, it really came into my mind that I should meet him. Subsequently, after Jummah, there I met him for the last time. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank.
Alhamdulillah, na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ